Before the curtain rises on God of Carnage at the Huntington Theater here in Boston, the audience is treated to a medley of children's songs ending with Free to Be You and Me. And that kumbaya feeling carries over into the first scene. Two sets of parents meet to resolve a playground dispute. One of their sons hit another with a stick and broke his teeth. But thank goodness, as the victim's mother says, we're also civilized.
Fortunately, there is still such a thing as the art of coexistence, isn't there?
Which the children don't appear to have mastered. At least not ours.
Yes, not ours.
What is going to happen to the tooth with the affected nerve?
We don't know yet. They're being cautious with the prognosis. Apparently, the nerve hasn't been totally exposed.
The same can be said of the parents' nerves, but they will be rubbed raw and bleeding by the end as fights over proper parenting escalate into outright mayhem, the parents ultimately behaving worse than their children.
Welcome.
After the performance, I had a chance to sit down on stage as the actors came out for a Q&A. They all agreed how interesting it was that the play, written by French playwright Yasmina Reza and translated into English by British playwright Christopher Hampton, resonated so in the U.S. It had a hugely successful run on Broadway in 2009. It's just been released as a film. At the Huntington, one set of parents is played by Christy Puz and Brooks Asmanchkas, another by Stephen Bogardus and Johanna Day. How physical are the roles? Well, a recent performance had to be canceled when Johanna broke her hand punching her stage husband, Stephen.
She was in a lot of pain. You could tell.
Yeah, it was rough.
We immediately knew she was injured, and there's 15 more minutes of the play to do, and she didn't start crying until the end of the play.
Then there is Christy Puz's character, the mom Annette, who, and sorry, there's no delicate way to say this, throws up all over Johanna's character's fine coffee table art books.
But you just said that we're all
It's tubing that is built into my... I have a really attractive nude bodysuit that has a tube built into it that loops down my back. And when we're sitting on the couch, Brooks actually unhooks it and hooks me into the couch, which is actually a giant vomit machine.
There's
a
huge... So fake vomit is one obstacle. There's also spilled water, a treacherous wooden staircase. What kind of parents would have that? And then there's the dialogue.
What you're doing over the course of the evening, it's been compared to a ferocious tennis match that you can't miss a beat. And in watching it, I thought, you know, you really can. Another thing I saw is that each of you has pretty much 25% of the evening, which is kind of extraordinary. You know, it's an absolute ensemble. Mm-hmm. But if one of you misses that throw or doesn't hit it back right, it's... comment on it. It's off, right?
Yeah, it stinks.
Annette, what? You think my son is a snitch?
I don't think anything.
If you don't think anything, don't say anything. Stop making these insinuations.
Try to stay calm, Annette. Michael and I are making an effort to be reasonable and moderate.
The dialogue's a nightmare.
It's really tough. Because it comes so fast?
Because it's so specific, and it's, you know, it's translated by a British person from the French. So it's very British.
If we
wanted to do a run-through or try it once, just in a British accent, and we sort of did a section of it once, and it was wildly easy.
You don't feel it's as organic, it doesn't come as naturally as you...
It's very stylized. But I don't mean it's awful. It's just it's very difficult to speak.
But as we said, the issues talked about are universal. Take this scene where the four parents discuss Benjamin, the child who hit the other boy with a stick.
I'm sure your son is not a savage. Of course Benjamin isn't a savage.
Yes, he is.
That's absurd, Alan. Why say something like that?
He's a savage.
How does he explain his behavior?
He doesn't want to discuss it.
He ought to discuss it.
He ought to do any number of things. He ought to come here. He ought to discuss it. He ought to be sorry for it. Clearly, you have parenting skills that put us to shame.
I feel like everyone I know who's a mother has to defend the way that she raises her child. And I think a lot of women judge each other. And I think that Annette is somebody who wants so desperately to be accepted by another mother. And she's clearly done a bad job. So I think there's just that desperation to defend your way of doing things. And I think that when it comes to children, I think that's the one thing that everyone has an opinion about before you even get the baby out of you. It's like the most opinions you can have about somebody is how they have children and what they do with their children.
The basic premise of couples turning on each other is as old as Punch and Judy. And it's, you know, the honeymooners on the low end, on the exactly. cultural low end, and it's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf on the high end. And yet, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf was much scarier. This gets funnier. Do you get to shade it?
As an audience member, you can do that, or a reader. But as an actor, if I would just start thinking about, oh, maybe we're sort of like the couple that visits George and Martha, you know, and then I'm thinking about the wrong thing. But as an audience member, as a reader of it, certainly, you know, don't you immediately think of Virginia Woolf?
A little of To the Moon, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all of it. Like you said, it's as old as time.
My son lost two teeth, two incisors.
Yes, yes, I think we all got that.
One of them for good.
He'll get new ones. We'll give him new ones, better ones. It's not as if he burst an eardrum.
Don't you all feel like you've either wanted to or have said things like that in your life? You know, especially wanted to towards the end, you know. But, you know, there are places where what you might say in private about, like, if we had gone home, if we ever got out of that apartment, you know, and we had gone home, we'd get into the car and immediately go, Jesus Christ, you know, like, it would, we just happened to do it right to their faces.
Well, you know, Ty Burr, in reviewing the movie, said that you either laugh uncontrollably or you start laughing in recognition. You know, and he said, oh, we all know people like this, you know, they're at the PTA or maybe they're in the mirror.
Yep.
Do you feel that from the audience?
I think the audience, it seems like they feel freedom. Like, it's like, that's just unbelievable that they said that. So, you know, it's sort of freeing. And there's also, you know, we hear a lot of, ooh.
Yeah, right.
I think the first moment you really hear the audience go, oh, thank you for saying that, is when Stephen does his Neanderthal speech.
I am up to here with these idiotic discussions. We tried to be nice. We bought tulips. My wife passed me off as a liberal, but I can't keep this up anymore. I am not a member of polite society. What I am, and always have been, is a Neanderthal.
I feel like so many people can identify with his, I can't put up this, you know, facade of being a member of polite society.
And a liberal.
And a like fake liberal.
The dirtiest word in the English
worst,
language.
Yes, like,
oh.
This is a public radio audience.
In the end, the couple seem like exhausted boxers hanging onto the ropes. The visiting couple, the Raleighs, threaten to leave for the upteenth time, but they keep coming back for more. There's no knockout punch as there is in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Our audience wondered what could possibly come next. So did the actors.
Isn't that the most fascinating thing about the play? Like, what happens next?
Yeah.
How do the Raleighs get out of that house? And what do they decide to do with their kids?
Yeah. I guess at some point the kids will be home from school and they'll clean us up and put us to bed.
Tell me why you're crying.